CliffCentral.com.
Mobile, what's up, dude?
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys?
How are you, bro?
Oh, I'm well, man. This thing that's happening with the president. I feel, you know what? This is not the main problem. I'm not on Twitter. You guys are, but.
Hey, don't say that. Don't be so disparaging about us.
No. There's personal reasons why I'm not on Twitter. But whatever.
Is there a woman chasing you down for maintenance?
Actually, there's about 20.
I was going to say, yeah. All right. So what did you want to say?
No. So what I've noticed is, okay, I see social media and media in general, like you guys, everybody's talking protest. But when you actually talk to the people on the ground, it's quite a different. And I'm talking about the people who are still very ANC, belief. Like, for example, my group of friends that we have our WhatsApp group on. I'm the only one who's just saying, guys, do you see what's happening? And all of them are making an excuse. They like the equivalent of an AKA, if I can put it that way. Yeah. They're coming up with any excuse to excuse that, no, Zuma is just doing this for now. Everybody's been corrupt, wada. We'll get over it. Zuma's going to go away. And that is what I have an issue with, is that right now the country's quite divided. And yes, the ANC will lose its majority. That's how I believe it. But it's going to be a split in between. It's going to be like a 52-48 kind of a split where they'll lose perhaps the majority, the elections in that way. However, this will then show us how divided our country is. Because if you look deep within, even where the places where I work, there's a lot of division and people, because you're at work, you have to be professional. You have to keep your opinions to yourself. You don't want to offend anyone. However, when you go outside of the workplace and you start speaking to people, I've seen fights broke out because one guy saying, no, you need to respect the president. But then the other guy goes, but the president doesn't even respect you. And that's the issue I have, is we need to target people. It's fine that we see the problem. However, we need to break it down to everyone, as in not necessarily, oh, this is the economy. We need to actually get into the mindset of these guys and say, why do you still believe it? Because when I spoke to my friend, for example, I said to him, okay, you speak about white monopoly. Who funds the ANC so blatantly right now? It's the Guptas. They're not white. They're Indian.
But not even, listen, let's just think about what the ANC has achieved. And this is why it's so ironic. A lot of these friends of yours, I would imagine, are employed, they have a better life than their parents had. Am I right?
Somewhat.
Okay, some of them are. Now that in itself is an achievement that the ANC can be proud of, that they can crow about. We have had in this country an increase in the black middle class, in fact, in the middle class full stop, like no other country in the last 100 years. Do you know that? I mean, we've brought we brought more people from the working classes into middle class. But you know what the ANC don't realize is that those are the very people who have turned against the ANC, because they look at them now and it's not the organization that they used to be a part of. It's not the organization that stands for what they care about anymore. And because middle class black people have something to lose from an idiot like Zuma making the decisions that he's made in the last while, they have a stake in making sure that things go right. They believe in the institutions that help them raise themselves up. They believe in a country that has made it possible for them to start their own businesses or to work in good jobs that aren't necessarily the jobs that their parents had. This is important.
No, and what I also have tried to educate the guys is just look at facts. Go to stats, stats that say, they even tell you, as you're saying, black middle class is increasing. There's more black millionaires than there was before. And yet it doesn't seep in. It seems like for whatever reason, this is also a product of the parents. For example, my parents and their parents teaching the children where that, look, the ANC did this and this and this. Fine. This is bad right now. Because when I see them speak, I remember my late grandmother. She was like, back when Zuma was charged of rape and corruption at that point, she was like, oh, well, he's doing all these things, but yeah, I freedom now. And that's the excuse that I keep on. That's the message that, and the narrative that I'm getting from all these, let's say, I'll say black folk, that I've interacted with. And it's quite surprising that actually, just like, for example, in the whole Trump thing, a lot of people are quiet. The media is speaking out, and few pockets of people are speaking out, but the majority are keeping quiet, actually. And you'd be surprised how many people still side with the president, even though they don't agree with how you act. So the important thing is we need to liberate those people, but in a different tactic, because we can't use the same
approach. Isn't it ironic that these people were liberated by the ANC, but they're now enslaved mentally to the ANC? They feel that they owe them in perpetuity. Now, that's not freedom, right?
No, it isn't. But that's the problem.
And I know so many black people who are terrified to admit that they support the DA or the EFF, or that they don't care. Let's say they don't vote for either of those parties, and they're not even political, because we know that the majority of ANC voters probably stayed away from the polls in the last election. Isn't it interesting that those people aren't going to vote for anyone else, but they are definitely, definitely not going to vote for the ANC?
And that's
and those people are free. Those are the ones who've decided, I'm not going to let my vote be decided before I've even decided for myself.
And that's the thing. Because this reminds me of what George Orwell talks about in 1984 in that book of his about double think. This is exactly the double think personified and in actual real world terms. Because the ANC is talking one thing and yet it's doing the other. Because the only thing I can then give an argument, because I say maybe I got through, there was a crack in their defense. Because when I said to them, listen, guys, if you speak of white monopoly and all that nonsense, which is not true as far as I'm concerned, tell me, why don't you support businesses? Why don't you? Why do you keep on buying your Remy Martins? Why do you keep on wearing your Gucci's?
Right.
Why?
Right.
And then that's where they lose it. And then they go and they're trying to find excuses. And then I think they admit implicitly that, okay, maybe perhaps you are right.
Well, you know, I mean, I said to Zwelin Mkhize the other day, and I don't know if you heard that interview, but I was telling him about black people I know, friends of mine who have businesses. And they don't get they don't get government support. They don't get support from black consumers. And these are businesses that really are at the very beginning of their life cycle, but could be hugely successful. They're run by extremely smart people. They run very, very well along the best standards in the world, but they're not getting the support that they could. I mean, if you look at how, you know, the Portuguese community support each other, the Jewish community support each other, Afrikaans people support each other.
Muslims too.
Now, why can't our own black people in this country support black business?
You know what I mean.
They'll help each other out when it comes to getting government stuff, but they won't actually buy each other's products. And I agree with you. It's like a hypocrisy. It's this double think. And I wish more people would read George Orwell, because Nobile, the problem is you and I and Mabali and Sia and maybe a handful of people even know that 1984 or Animal Farm exist. And they are the greatest books. Well, among the greatest books of the 20th century that have to deal with how people are hoodwinked by these politicians.
And the thing is, with the skies, when I say to them, listen, saying a white monopoly exists, you guys are still supported by paying. You give your money to that white monopoly. You go to a white bank. You go to a white shop. And you still give your money to them, yet you claim that they are owning the economy, yet you're giving them the means. Like you were talking earlier about
that. But these are the same people who get angry with Helen Ziller about what she said about colonialism, but they're not changing their own habits, which would feed into exactly the narrative she's talking about, right?
That's the problem. And that's what I feel like. If black folk that are crying, that are on the opposite end, they're not really supporting Zuma, but they're still on that stance of the Zuma side. If we get to them, believe you me, Zuma would lose our power, because that's the problem. I feel it's a microism of the ANC. What's happening in this ANC is a microism of what's happening generally in society.
Mabile, I love talking to you, but you and I always end up in these long conversations, and then Mabile starts looking at me like we've got to get to news. Just quickly, before you go, do you think that do you think that enough people realize that they're being used, they're pawns on Zuma's chessboard? He knows all he has to do is stoke up this bullshit about, you know, white monopoly capital or the Western world trying to influence. He even tried it with Pravin now, and saying that Pravin was busy cavorting with Western influences to overthrow him. I mean, it's the kind of paranoia that we've heard from Robert Mugabe for 30 years. And people, and Zimbabweans are among the smartest, most educated people on the continent. You can't tell me they didn't see that he was talking complete shit, but they chose to believe it.
No, and just in closing, I would say they don't see it. And it's a precise reason, as you quoted also, George Orwell mentioned a double thing. It's something that it's engraved. It's that whole thing of mental manipulation from birth. And that's the problem. If you can target that, believe you me, there's a lot of things that can change. But otherwise, we'll continue in this endless cycle.
It's like religion. They put it in your head when it's soft. Your parents put it into your head when you're stupid and your head's still soft, and it never gets out because you never question it. Never. You think it's part of who you are.
Exactly. But thank you very much, guys. I'll be enjoying the show as always.
Well, we love talking to you and sometimes arguing with you. All right, man.
Bye.
Thanks. Cheers, Mobile. CliffCentral.com.